This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
One more real quick. Paul, Wildcard 2, come on the line from Yuba City, California, and talk to us for just a minute, because that's about all we have.
Thanks for having me on. The way I look at this is that with basically, as the president, we have a hybrid. We have somebody who grew up with Frank Marshall Davis, who was a communist, and also with the anti-colonial edge, which is directly linked back to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is directly linked back to the Nazis. And what we have is somebody who's a national socialist. And you can see how he drives his agenda. Also, as the president, he has been linked directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, if you take a look at Benghazi, which is now turning out to be nothing more than Fast and Furious on steroids over in Europe, you know, you've got a president here who's got a clear agenda. His behavior patterns, all the things that have been going on with all the school shootings, all that stuff fits the same thing as what you saw in Hitler's Germany. And he's basically using the same tactics that Hitler used to take over Germany. It's being applied here in the United States.
That's an interesting point. Thank you very much for the call, Paul.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're talking about the COVID virus. And in the upcoming hour, we're going to be talking about stoporganharvesting.org, a website that's out designed to, well, let you become aware of what organ harvesting is. And we're not talking about Nancy Pelosi's plan to do ballot harvesting, although you have to wonder about her affiliations to those people in deep state China that are involved with organ harvesting. Harvesting seems to be on the mind of Nancy Pelosi and, of course, her ilk, especially Dianne Feinstein, another Californian, right? Anyway, so we're going to be talking about that in just a short order here. But we want to bring your attention to everything that's happening in New California. So please visit our website, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. We're progressing. We're moving through. Candace Owen is going to be doing several things for New California coming up. We're putting the ink on that deal here pretty soon, actually within about 2 hours. So that's going to be kind of a absolutely outstanding thing. We're going to be inviting Nikki Haley to our 7th Constitutional Convention, which it looks like that's going to happen. We're going to put that one together. Just a little, you know, just a, some. I'm just dropping some names, you know. Maybe even Mike Huckabee might share, come back and visit us out here. You know, you never know. He might end up being the interim governor for New California. So anyway, with that, though, I'd like to welcome Mitchell Nicholas Gerber here on Agenda 21 Radio. And he is reaching out to express his interest in appearing on all media out here in the United States. He's right now about 100 miles from the Chinese border in Hanoi. So he's coming to us from Hanoi right now, live and in person here on Agenda 21 Radio. In his bio, he says he's devoted the last 19 years of his life to researching and investigating a topic that I think all of us would want to find out about. And, of course, that is organ harvesting by China. The horrific tale of forced organ harvesting hidden deep inside China is mostly definitively hard to believe. Now, we have talked about this with many members of the Epoch Times and the Chinese community out of San Francisco and throughout the United States, because this is something that's a huge topic to everyone. But, you know, the mass murder that's being, the genocide that's being committed right now by the deep state Chinese of especially your religious affiliations, Christians and Uyghurs, which are Muslims in China. And, of course, the Falun Gong, we've talked about a lot on this show, but now we have somebody who's directly, literally hands-on with us in Hanoi. And, Mitchell, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio.
Thank you, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You got a little echo going on, but that's probably where you're at. Don't worry about it. Why don't you go ahead and tell us who you are and how, you know, just tell us about Mitchell Gerber and why you're in, you know, outside of Hanoi.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for allowing me to grace your show, first and foremost, and for all the people who have lent their ears to this important broadcast tonight, which is about 9 o'clock my time and I think 8 o'clock your time in the morning.
That's right.
We'll come to realize in the future how serious this new form of evil that has been conducted on innocent people, as you've mentioned, Paul, the Uyghur Muslims, the House Christians, and particularly the Falun Gong, is in the world today, and by the Chinese Communist Party, who have now covered up and lied and unleashed a virus that is now affecting the whole world. So a little bit about me. I'm a simple man. I was educated in the United States. I'm a native-born South African, raised in America, in Atlanta, Georgia, for 25 years as an American citizen. I received my education as an international human rights and political studies major at the University of Georgia. And I have worked closely on this case for the last 20 years, exposing the forced organ harvesting in China that is still commencing. Really hard to believe, but yet confirmed by the investigators who I have worked closely with and actually sat down with in Westminster Abbey in London, in the Parliament there, at a child trafficking court, exposing this even more so now that it's coming to light. And I'm just grateful to be on your show exposing this to your audience.
So tell us, you know, for those that are the naive ones that haven't, you know, that are just now, and I really, we have a lot of new listeners because of this coronavirus business, you know, that again, people have figured out that you have to come to news sources like ours to get the truth out there. But can you kind of give us a little bit of a primer on really what this organ harvesting really is? And I know this may be very disturbing to some who've never heard this before. And of course, most people who really think as good Americans and, you know, Christians and other religious beliefs don't have any idea that there's a whole different world out there that does pretty evil stuff. But you've seen this evil for yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to preface before continuing that there is no other country in this world, no other government, that has conducted such an unprecedented, large-scale, state-endorsed, state-sanctioned, and state-mandated forced live organ harvesting genocide. with its own military, the second largest economy in the world, and the largest number of people by far in any other country than the Chinese Communist Party. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, is a reign of terror. It has controlled China, the Chinese people, and the Chinese civilization for the last 50 years, ever since Mao Zedong conquered it in 1949, once World War II was finishing off and the Japanese were retreating, and China was in chaos. Based on the book, the nine commentaries on the Communist Party, between 80 and 100 million Chinese have been killed. That's more than two world wars combined by the Chinese Communist Party. More than 5,000 years of Chinese traditional culture and values wiped out. Millions of innocent Chinese girls under the one-child policy that is still commencing to this day have been killed. China has the largest fur trade, cannibalism, starvation, and now with this forced organ harvesting that has yet to be exposed in this world as this new form of evil. And a lot of people will say to me, well, Mitch, this has been going on before. You've seen different places in the world, the organ harvesting. And that's true. There have been cases, the story of the kidney in the bathtub, where you wake up one morning where your kidneys have been taken out and you're in a frozen tub of water. But like I said, and that's why I wanted to preface before I go continue, that nothing has been going on like this in history. This is a crime of the century. Not even the Nazis had this kind of technology, this kind of military backing, this kind of power that the Chinese Communist Party has been capable of and is capable of conducting this large-scale forced live organ harvesting on the four groups that you've mentioned: the Falun Gong, the Uyghur Muslims, the House Christians, and the Tibetans. The majority of organs that have been harvested have come from Falun Gong practitioners. And to understand how organ harvesting could happen in China, it is crucial to understand that there is no limit to how far the Chinese Communist Party will go to wipe out something or someone. So, like I said, Paul, I have been on this case for 20 years. I leave no name. I'm not selling anything. I haven't got great business degrees. I'm not the governor of some state. I'm not a director of any international NGO. I am a lone warrior working with many leaders of state. I've sat down with many people in my life. I'm 40 years old. My investigation started as early as 2001 when I was a young buck studying international business. However, what I have gathered and the confirmations of the allegations are true, and I'm grateful to share them with you again on your show.
Well, please do. And basically have opened up the airwaves here on Agenda 21 Radio, and those people that are trying to call in, we're going to take your calls in the third hour, because I think the message that we're going to get here is pretty important. So I know some people have been trying to call in, and that number, 215-867-8255, you can pull that up in the third hour, and we'll answer your questions, because I don't want to break and get the concentration going in a different direction here. I just this whole thing, and you laid out a couple of things here. First of all, This organ harvesting, because science has progressed so far, and people don't remember that after World War II, I mean, let's go back to penicillin. Penicillin wasn't discovered until during World War II. And, people, we're dealing right now with the coronavirus, and we've been trying to tell people that the science of understanding viruses, bacteria, microbes, and so on, and causing disease. And then it gets into an even another a science, and that's understanding organ transplants and rejection of organs being transplanted into people. This technology is relatively new in the world. It's really not even 100 years old. But the technology that allows organs to be transplanted, first of all, that was always the good thing, is that everybody says that, well, you can transplant a heart, and I know I can't remember the name of the Texas guy who first did that. South Africa, I believe, transplanted a heart. And, of course, what happens is that because everybody's got different tissue types and blood types, compatibility of tissues is something that would cause what was called rejection of the organs. And this was happening back in the 60s when we first started to hear about heart transplants. People had heart problems and they'd have a transplant. This was something that was a big spectacle at the time. But now, with the advent of understanding a lot of things about pathogens, a lot of things about tissue rejection, there's a lot of different types of chemicals that now, and of course, genetic typing, that's the other thing with the whole, you know, we didn't even know the gene theory until 1957 after World War II. The Nazis never had this technology, and you pointed that out, that everybody's always seen these things that, you know, the concentration camps and Mengele and all these guys performing out these outrageous experiments. And, boy, they were outrageous. But this basically looks like, you know, by comparison with the Chinese, now that they've got the tissue rejection problem solved, now that they've got genetic compatibility problem solved, it's a lot easier to make a organ transplant or at least make them compatible. And there's a whole science behind that, almost an industry behind making organs compatible for somebody for transplant. But now we've taken it to a different level with the Chinese, and you have whole prisons that have been dedicated for holding people alive until they get a client, and then they'll kill that person, harvest their organs, and actually have live organ transplants literally right there side by side in the same surgical suite. That's kind of different than what we would think of. It's a genocide that we've never seen before.
True, absolutely, well said. And might I add that the key difference between organ transplant surgery operations versus forced transplantation is the consent basis. So here you have in the world normal people having a normal transplant surgery. Many people are on waiting lists for 3 to 4 to 5 years, even to sometimes 7 years, waiting for hearts, waiting for kidneys, waiting for lungs, waiting for livers. And in China, as the Chinese Communist Party commenced this genocide, this forced organ harvesting, you could receive fresh organs within specified dates, killed to order. Now, that is the most shocking revelation that has been confirmed by the investigators, David Kilgore, David Mattis, Ethan Gutman, Matthew Robinson, and others that have took it upon themselves. They weren't being paid for it. They're independent investigators, very, very well-known backgrounds, to unravel this. And the investigation started in 2006. And let's just take you back before we even get into that, because we have plenty of time, Paul. And I want to share with your listeners and take them on a story, piece by piece, because it is so shocking. And I want to make sure that I cover everything. People want to or usually ask me, well, what is this Falun Gong? I have heard about it. I don't really know what this is. You're telling us that Falun Gong practitioners have been killed. Who are these people? And what I would like to share is that when Falun Gong became the largest spiritual movement in China, the Chinese regime really became threatened by 1998, particularly the former president of China. And the reason is because this Falun Gong spiritual movement, as you will, it's an ancient Chinese meditation, spiritual discipline in the Buddhist and Taoist tradition. Remember, in the West, you are more prone to learn about Christianity, Catholicism, and Judaism. In the Middle East, it's more of Muslims and Islam. In the East, in terms of China and India, and Indonesia, in Bali particularly, there is Hinduism, there was Buddhism, and there was Taoism. Falun Gong came out of the Buddhist tradition, and pronounced Falun Gong, it consists of moral teachings, a meditation, and four gentle exercises that are truly unique and highly effective in the way of transforming the body into an incredible healthy physique, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And at the core of Falun Gong's teachings are the three philosophy or three universal principles: truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. The mind, the body cannot live without the mind. So if the mind is immoral, stressed out, full of anxiety, the body will degenerate. Once the mind is at peace and follows a more of a moral fortitude, a moral improvement, and a moral natured thought process based on being more truthful in business, being kind with your employees, with your wife, with your girlfriend, with your family, and being more tolerant, that you can endure things in life. You can believe in yourself and approach life with more of a forbearance nature. Once you practice these exercises that Falun Gong's founder introduced to the public in 1992, Mr. Li Hongzhi, in the general public, between 1992 and 1998, the Chinese government estimated that between 1 out of every 10 Chinese national citizens were practicing the Falun Gong exercises. And they were seeing millions of dollars of healthcare costs reduced, suicide rates plummeting, people were living longer, feeling better, all kinds of illnesses, ailments, and injuries were being healed. The productivity lines in businesses were improving because the moral fortitude and the moral fiber of business relationships were improving. So all across the board, people were seeing an incredible health in financial assets, in spiritual and emotional assets, in wellness assets, all across the board in China, where the Western world was starting to become very curious. And what was this life force that was taking China by storm? What was this Qigong or spiritual movement or mind and body practice that was unleashed into the general public that was doing so well and was influencing so many people just through word of mouth alone to become the largest movement in China in 5,000 years, where 100 million people were practicing Falun Gong by 1998, and with the government's own estimates, receiving all the health awards, all the health and wellness awards. And before the Western world could learn more about this, the former president of China, and his name many people do not know about, his name is Jiang Zemin. He was the leader, the military dictator of the communist regime by 1999. And he grew very angry and hateful and jealous that he couldn't control the hearts and the minds of so many people. That the number of people practicing Falun Gong outnumbered the number of people in the communist regime by 30 million in membership. So on July 1999, Paul, and everybody who's listening, the Chinese regime called Falun Gong the biggest threat to national security since Tiananmen Square 10 years before. The reason being, the largest movement in Chinese history, the philosophy of Falun Gong, truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance, the peaceful nature of it, was and stood in stark contrast to the vile nature, the despotic nature, the barbarous, barbaric nature, the killing nature of the communist regime, and the atheist nature of the communist regime. And number three, because the Chinese communist regime did research, medical research, on the DNA, on the cell tissues, on the organs, on the physiological and psychological benefits of Falun Gong, and realized how good these organs were, devised a final solution campaign to slander this spiritual movement, demonize it as some kind of sinister tyrannical cult, and turn public opinion against Falun Gong, brainwash the population of China, and damage the reputation of Falun Gong in order to do the most horrific thing that is known to man: send hundreds and thousands of Falun Gong practitioners and others to state-mandated hospitals, the communist regime turning their doctors into murderers, cutting out the organs of Falun Gong practitioners while alive with very little anesthesia, but with anesthesia just to hold down the patient to sedate it, and then cut out the organs of Falun Gong's practitioners, the corneas, the livers, the lungs, the pancreas, the hearts, and the kidneys, and then sell them for hundreds and thousands of dollars on the black market and now the medical markets illegally without any consent. And this has been going on up to now, ramping up even more so. And you mentioned the Epoch Times. The Epoch Times just received came out with an article about how the communist regime has been conducting on coronavirus patients lung transplants and heart transplants. And this has been raising concerns where the source of organs are coming from. And they are coming from the Falun Gong practitioners. So this is how it has started. And then the investigators confirmed the allegations in 2006, which I can get into in a moment.
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring to everybody's attention about this whole thing, and I think this is, you know, something that people might not understand, but, you know, you also, the other religious groups are in a similar boat, like you mentioned, Christians. Correct. And also the Muslims, the Uyghurs, but, you know, this is a form of forced internment based upon whoever has the power. And I want to get to this so that people understand that when you live in a dictatorship, in a totalitarian regime like you find with communist China, and of course we've had all these friendly things going on with China as a friendly trading partner over the last, you know, 30 years, the reality check for there's two varieties, as I'm seeing, of the Chinese. There's the deep state and then there's the state. Not saying that the state is any better than the deep state, but there seems to be a deeper state with much more sinister ties than what we see right now, like with, say, a Xi Jinping. They seem to be more moderate and not necessarily into the murder-slaughtering thing that we're seeing, even though they do that. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of like, how do you pick your best devil out of the group, right? But is that a fair assessment, that there are those that would be a little bit more worldly and less inclined to do these heinous acts?
There have been people in the Communist Party that have stood up against the regime. Yet the Chinese Communist Party, as a specter, it is an imposter. There is a really powerful book, and I implore your listeners to read, The Nine Commentaries on the Communist Party. This was introduced as a publication into China in 2004, basically to wake up the Chinese people and to have them realize what a reign of terror that they're living under. President Xi, Hu Jintao, Deng Xiaoping, Mao Zedong, Jiang Zemin, who is the arch fiend of the communist regime, they're all complicit. Doesn't matter which way you cut it, Paul. Deep state, it doesn't matter, because they're all under the same bloody imposter, the red dragon. The Chinese Communist Party is in power, and as long as the forced organ harvesting has been ramping up, they are all responsible. They are all responsible for the atrocities under the communist dictatorship. Now, if there was a president or a faction that stood up against the communist regime, they have been annihilated. That's what happened with the Great Cultural Revolution with Mao Zedong. He killed all the intellectuals. He killed all the scholars. He wiped out anybody, the democratic lawyers. He's put everybody in prison. I have friends in China who were creating at the time, about 10, 20 years ago, the internet companies, the digital to break through the firewall to get the information out when the persecution of Falun Gong started. And now this technology that they created, and these people have been killed a long time ago, and we haven't heard from them. The same technology they created has been used by the governments around the world. It's quite profound. But the same people who have stood up, and my point is anyone who has stood up against the communist regime has been taken out. That's why Falun Gong was such a threat to the communist regime's leadership at that time. Instead of being embraced by the seven Politburo members, like the seven Politburo members of the communist regime, like the vice premier Zhu Rongji at the time, who thought Falun Gong was great. It was doing wonders for the people. It was doing very good, and it was actually showing the communist regime in a good light. But because of Jiang Zemin the president of the communist regime at that time. And when the persecution began, he was seeking a way to consolidate his own power while also eliminating the largest movement of thought in recent Chinese history. And so with his campaign of spreading complete hate, demonizing Falun Gong, and now killing them for their organs, and putting hundreds and thousands, up to millions, in labor camp systems, creating the labor camp, the Lao Gao system, as it was called, in 1999, once the crackdown, or as they would say in Nazi Germany, the Kristallnacht, when the Jews were completely banned from anything and moved into the ghettos and sent off to labor camps and slave camps and death camps. The same thing happened with Falun Gong, and it is commencing to this day. So whatever faction there is in China, and there are warring factions, because the communist regime is collapsing, the economic, social, and political realms are collapsing, and it's just a matter of time when it is completely collapsed.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point that we may be seeing, in many respects, the end game. And, you know, we follow China, communist China, for the financial purposes of what's going to be happening with New California, because, you know, California is so tied at the hips with China, and we now know the absolute complete corruption of California in its state government, and it's connect-the-dot basically to the Chinese government. And of course, even with CalPERS, which is the nation's largest retirement system, you have a guy that's there managing the purchases of equities on behalf of CalPERS, and he happens to be a member of the Communist Party. And the Chinese Communist Party, and he's buying up the equities to invest for CalPERS. So all these guys that have CalPERS accounts, all the government workers and so on, they're paying their money in, and that money is being invested in Communist China, primarily in military stocks. Well, of course, they'll never see that money coming back, because the Communist Chinese, there's no private businesses there. Everything's owned by the Communist Party. So this is like a one-way bleed out of California, which is what we've seen. And that's just one of the things affecting California. But I want to get back to the fact that this economic downturn that we're seeing playing into the desperation of the communists. And it gets down to a couple of things. In Romania, Ceausescu, in the later days in particular, he was selling babies for a number of different reasons, for organ transplants and things like that, but also for for sex trafficking. That seems to be his big thing. You know, that's why people would go to the orphanages, and of course, Russia was doing a lot of that, the former Soviet Union. And it was a big money pit. Even today in Castro's Cuba, they do the same thing. They'll basically have babies and sell them on the open market. In the case of what's happening here, do you see this as somewhat of an end game activity? I mean, an activity that's just the most grotesque thing you could ever hope for or see at all. But is this the last gasp of a desperate regime in the throes of doing something just absolutely incredibly evil, such as what we saw with Nazi Germany, trying to earn money, get money? Because basically all these transferring and doing all these organ transplants and all this, it's all about money in some way. And, of course, that brings up the question about what is going on with Planned Parenthood in the United States, because we know that there's a lot of organ transferring going on, and suspect it a lot, and especially with some of your stem cells and things like that. This is a big business. It's a multi-billion-dollar business. Is there any impact in the United States with or any relationship between Communist China and Planned Parenthood that you see at this point? And also, what are you seeing as an economic collapse or a collapse of the communist government? You mentioned it, but how soon do you think that would happen?
Okay, so let me start with answering about. I do agree with you about how, first of all, China. Well, when we talk about China, we cannot say China this, China that. We have to talk about the Communist Party. We must be specific. The Chinese Communist Party controls China and everything in it. The Chinese Communist Party has been allowed to infiltrate every governing body, whether it's the United Nations, look at the World Health Organization, the Vatican, the dictatorial states in which there are dictatorial states in Africa, in the Middle East, in Southeast Asia. Look at the American regime under Clinton and Obama. Look how close they were with the communist regime. So to have allowed the communist regime to get as powerful as it has it's become, when Bill Clinton sold the NAFTA agreement, signed the NAFTA agreements, Paul, in the 1990s, he basically sold the entire manufacturing that the American veterans, when came back from World War II, established for the new generation. So basically sold the baby boomers down the line, violated the American Constitution, and sold the entire manufacturing model to slave China, slave communist China, to the Communist Party. That was the most horrendous deal. I wish the Americans would have been up in arms, but they didn't. They just let it go.
Well, they didn't. The people did not know the extent of. Everybody thought China was great, and this was the thing, is that they were making accommodations for China, and China was coming over here in the 90s and basically buying and stealing everything they possibly could at the time from a physical standpoint. Correct. Because, you know, we saw this in the schools and education. They mimicked our own California public education system over there, actually. But the other part of it is that the intellectual theft and all the other theft that was going on, all being sponsored by Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama.
Yes, exactly. And now we have become a consumer slave state, and they have become the institutionalized slave, saving state, but built up their entire economy, the Chinese communist economy, with the manufacturing base that we had after the veterans came back from World War II. It's absolutely disturbing. And I would like to share that many people believe that trade with China will promote human rights, freedom of speech, and democratic reform in China, right? But after more than a decade, folks, it's clear that this comparison is only wishful thinking. I mean, think about it. A comparison of the principles for doing business in China and the West provides this common example, which I'm about to share. The fairness and transparency of Western societies are replaced by, first of all, nepotism, second of bribery, and third, embezzlement in China. Many Western corporations now have become leading culprits by further exacerbating China's corruption. And also, the Chinese Communist Party behaves like a mafia, Paul. And you were talking about how the business contracts or how the Chinese Communist Party is collapsing economically. And I'll get to that in a moment. But because it behaves like the mafia and playing the economic card and foreign diplomacy, it determines its contractual obligations with countries like the United States and France based on which country keeps quiet on its human rights issues. So when the persecution of Falun Gong began, many companies were wondering, well, what is going on? Should we do more business with China? And the Chinese communist regime said, look, you want to do business with me? You want your contractual obligations? You want your steel? You want your military contracts? You keep quiet on the forced organ harvesting. You keep quiet on the Falun Gong issue. We'll take care of it. Don't worry. And a lot of people, there's a saying, extinction before loss of profit. So many Western businesses and politicians have been driven by and controlled by economic profits from China. And we received this data from the China's Ministry of Commerce. By the end of April 2004, that was about maybe 15 years ago, China has seen a total of $990 billion of foreign direct investment in various contracts. This is a huge blood transfusion to the CCP's economy from foreign capital. And in the process of investment, the foreign capital does not bring the concept of democracy, freedom, human rights as a fundamental principle or principles to the Chinese people. However, the CCP capitalized in its propaganda on the unconditional cooperation by foreign investors and foreign governments and the flattery of some of its countries, of the countries, because by making use of China's superficial economic prosperity, and this is where the collapse will come in, and especially with Trump smashing its economy with tariffs, winning the trade war, the CCP officials have become extremely adept at colluding with businesses to divide state wealth and block political reforms. And what we've also seen with this collapse, which is proving this collapse, is massive amounts of investment moving out of China, especially with billionaires and ex-billionaires and high-ranking party officials who are seeing, they're like rats on a sinking ship, like the Titanic that is sinking. And they're trying to get their money out. And they're trying to get as far away from China as possible. Because I think what happened was that Trump put the death nail in China's economy, with the collapse of its manufacturing base. I think back maybe two or three years ago as well, we also see a political collapse of China, of the Communist Party, where you were talking about the factions, Xi's faction and then Jiang Zemin's faction, and everyone's in between, fighting for control of this. Of this dead red dragon that's completely collapsing. I mean, they're so stupid and they're so diabolical that I don't even think they know what they're doing. They're just so power hungry and blood hungry that they don't care. And then you have the social realm that has collapsed, where Chinese now do not care about the communist regime. They hate the communist regime. They don't want to be part of the communist regime anymore. When there was a time once when it was even if you went to the bathroom and you were thinking about the communist regime or saying bad things about it, you would be very fearful that they would be watching you, all eyes, Big Brother would be watching you. But now people dare to speak anything about the communist regime. So in these aspects, we have seen that between maybe, I would say, a conservative estimate, between 2 and 5 years, you are going to see a huge, massive change in China. It's inevitable right now. However, the number one fear that the Chinese Communist Party has is exposure. They do not want to be exposed. And as you can see now, they are being exposed because it's obvious that this virus has come to light, has been unleashed in China. It's obvious that the forced organ harvesting has been confirmed. It's obvious that the communist regime is a diabolical, evil, tyrannical regime that is bribing the World Health Organization, that is bribing the United Nations. I mean, if I may, I can share with you that the U.S. president, the assistant to the U.S. president, Peter Navarro, has mentioned that the CCP has a broad strategy to gain control over the 15 specialized agencies of the United Nations alone. And Tedros, the director, secretary general of the World Health Organization, is a perfect puppet for China because he's Ethiopian. People's Revolutionary Democratic Front was already a patsy for the CCP. Now, Tedros, the security general of the World Health Organization, he is from Addis Ababa, and Addis Ababa is known as the city that China built because the CCP.
This is Ethiopia that you're talking about.
Exactly. This is where the Secretary General of the Director General of the World Health Organization had so proudly covering up and colluding with the Chinese Communist Party and has denied Taiwanese existence, as I'm sure your listeners have seen the video of the Taiwanese woman calling the guy, and the guy is pretending name's Brett or
the Skype broke.
The Skype broke. Yeah. Which is ridiculous. The reason is because the degree of Chinese ownership extends throughout the country of Addis Ababa, and they backed this Secretary General Tedros by constructing everything from the metro system off to highways and skyscrapers, by backing a project in Djibouti in Ethiopia with a $3.3 billion loan and 400 Chinese investment projects. So it was very easy for just like Robert Mugabe, a Chinese ally as well, as a goodwill ambassador. It was very easy for the Chinese Communist Party to put this person in the World Health Organization as a puppet to the Chinese Communist Party. Mm-hmm. Just like the Chinese Communist Party put Wang Jiefu, who is the Minister of Health to the Chinese Communist Party, a liver surgeon, and oversaw the forced organ harvesting of Falun Gong practitioners in China, who now sits on the board of the World Health Organization, who refuted the claim, the evidence, the 52-piece of evidence that the investigators brought to the World Health Organization to say, look, this is going on, do something about it, and they've remained silent.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to bring out to everybody's attention, because, you know, we've presented this information, a lot of this information to back up what is going on with Tedros, just as a curiosity. But, you know, the United States government, especially since George Bush the Senior, you can go from George Bush the Senior to Obama, so you've got a series of four presidents there that have been playing with this thing called PEPFAR. You know, PEPFAR, which is basically an organization, it's a government, is the largest funder of any nation to a single disease in the world, and it's the largest donor to the Global Fund to the tune of $90 billion to date. And despite this, due to the fact that the Global Fund is located in Geneva, Switzerland, is not subject to U.S. taxation and so on, George Bush, Bush's 2006 executive order afforded the Global Fund additional exemptions, privileges, and immunities. And it says three U.S. presidents, over 35 governments, the UNDP, the Global Fund, Gavi, and two other dozen nonprofit organizations, along with countless smaller ones, have been cashing in for nearly two decades on this business. And this is the people that are involved with this that are also directly involved with China. Bill and Melinda Gates, Jeffrey Sachs, Kofi Annan, Amir Adnan, in the list of founders of the Global Fund who has really strategized, it goes on and on and on. But you also have people that are deeply involved, like the Clintons. And you also have Dr. Fauci. And you have Dr. Burke. And, I mean, we can go on and on and on about the people that are directly involved with this Global Fund, which has direct links with the World Health Organization. In fact, you heard Dr. Fauci last week raging about what a great job Tedros has done, which is, of course, complete garbage. He's a lackey for the communist Chinese, like you're talking about.
Absolutely, and he has blood on his hands as well. And not to mention Davos, the economic forum in Switzerland.
Yep.
How the international bankers and the global cabal, the Rockefellers, backed Mao Zedong. They backed the communist regime. They want nothing more. George Soros. I mean, you've heard these names. These are people who have backed the communist style system, and they want to destroy America and bring in a whole new communist style system. And that is why they have used the Marxist ideology and the communist style playbook from the Communist Party and the Communist Manifesto to infiltrate into the West, and started with socialism. That's why you've seen in the later years. I know we're off track to the organ harvesting, but it does tie in, because the communist regime, as I've said, has infiltrated all aspects of the Western society now, and particularly they want to destroy the constitutional values, the constitutional rights of America. And what do the communists do the most? The first thing they do to render the people helpless, they take away the guns, the Second Amendment that controls and dominates and protects all the other amendments. Once you render the citizen helpless, you can take away their free speech, their free rights to property and businesses, and make them into slaves and force them into brutal poverty, fear, and absolute control. And that is what any communist dictatorship has done, all through Stalin and now with Mao Zedong.
You know, one of the things you can't leave out of this equation is, you know, when you talk about socialism, national socialism, because, you know, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis are here too. This whole ideology blends perfectly with communism, and of course you can see this, both ideologies blending together here in California and also throughout the United States. Agenda 21, plan, which was picked up by Nancy Pelosi and brought to the United States in 1992 and put into law here, is a classic example of how Nazism has infiltrated this whole movement and blended with communism. And that's what we're facing out here in California right now, is that combination.
Yes, and as a 25-year American citizen, I received my American citizen about 20 years ago, maybe about 5 years ago. I've been a resident since 1995 in Atlanta, Georgia, where the FBI was headquartered. I had to sit down with the FBI and the CIA because I have received death threats and all kinds of things that have tried to knock me out of the out of this world's playing field because of me exposing the Red Dragon and my work to stand up against the forced organ harvesting and support the Falun Gong and others. They shared with me that the communist regime, and I knew this when I was attending Georgia State University and the University of Georgia, how the Chinese communist regime was infiltrating the Chinese student associations. They were infiltrating the governing bodies, the Confucius Institutes that are mouthpieces and spy agencies for the communist regime.
Right.
And I saw each and every year more and more how political correctness was becoming stronger, how the average American was keeping quiet, didn't want to speak, was fearful of saying what political party they were in tune to. And then you had the radical left, which, look, I'm not against any person. If they want to believe in what they want to believe, I'm just speaking about the concept of Marxism infiltrating and poisoning the minds of the liberal university students, the Democratic Party, and other eugenicists out there that love the democratic candidates as well, that love the idea of so-called socialism. But socialism is a trap. It is a forerunner to the evil of communism. And I would implore anyone who believes in socialism and believes in communism to come spend a day in China, come spend a day in North Korea, come spend a day in Vietnam and try and speak up against the government. Yeah. Try and
good luck
buy
on that.
Good luck. Good luck. You'll be sent, absolutely. So anyway, Paul, coming back to the forced organ harvesting and how this is so prolific in our time.
Yeah, you got about 90 seconds.
I do. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to share about the investigators and what their confirmations and reports have said. 90 seconds. Well, David Kilgore,
we're at the end of the hour, believe it or not. So.
Okay, so I'll leave it for the next hour if you'd like.
Well, I've got to go to another topic of the next hour, but we're definitely going to have you come back. In the time we have, tell us how we can get a hold of you and how people can follow this story in more depth, because I think you want to get that out there.
Yes, absolutely. StopOrganHarvesting.org, EndTransplantAbuse.org, FalunInfo.net, FalunInfo.net. And they can follow me on Twitter at TruthSeeker077. Please take a look about what's going on with Falun Gong. All the reports are there. The Kilgore Matus Report, KILGOUR-MATAS report, is a free publication. And I think that's it for there. And if anyone is interested in practicing the Falun Gong exercises, they are wonderful for health. So thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate it. And God bless you.
Well, thank you. And God bless you, because you're there. You're out in the field. You're in right outside of Hanoi right now, not too far from the border. And your great work is, exposing a lot. And the more that we unravel this onion, Peter Navarro is a very good friend of our partner here on Agenda 21 Radio, Chris Street. In fact, he wrote the book Death by China and also the movie. And Chris was a contributor to the book and works pretty well with the administration as well. And Peter Navarro. So Peter Navarro is on the right track. He's absolutely on the right track with China. And the Chinese don't like him for that. But, we can't have this. What's happening in China is soon to be happening here unless we stop it. But we have to become aware of it. And I hope people have learned some big lessons from your appearance here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're talking to Mitchell Gerber, and fascinating about what evil really lurks out there in this world. Mitchell, thanks for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Thank you for letting me share, Paul. God bless and good night.
Good night. Well, good morning and good night.
Good morning and good night. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Anyway, so, you can go to our website, agenda21radio.news, and there's a link there to the website for Mitchell, and it's stoptheorganharvesting.com or .org. And amazing world we're living in. The transitions are amazing, but it also tells you that we really, truly are at war. It's a different kind of war, but it's still war. Anyway, thanks for listening, and remember to visit our website, 821r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.